What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Thursday edition of the Crossing Routes podcast, fueled by FTN Fantasy. My name is Herms. His name is Tyler O. And we are going to be talking about some of my faves and fades for the 2025 season. We did a very similar episode to this a few days ago, talking about some of Tyler O's faves and fades. If you want to go back and listen to that podcast, definitely something that you should check out. There's also an article that goes with it. There's a link for it in the description and everything. But this is about Herms. This is about me today. We are getting to the guys that I am a little bit higher on than consensus. I'm a little bit lower on than consensus. But before we get into me hopping on my soapbox and talking a bunch, Tyler, how's it going, buddy? How you doing?
Things are great. Life is good. I am currently drafting multiple redraft leagues right now with multiple more on the books, which just feels so, so sweet, Herms. We've talked about it before, but why not say it again for the new folks that are just finding Crossing Routes? Is we play all forms of fantasy football, Herms and I, but at the end of the day, we're redraft dudes. We are redraft guys. We love redraft, everything about it. Dynasty's great. Best ball's great. DFS is great. Everything. I mean, what other forms of college fantasy? Still play it. Oh, but yeah. Dude, it's redraft season. I'm drafting. We got other ones on the books, on the calendar. Group chats blowing up. Oh, feels good to be back, my man.
It doesn't get any better than this. You know, it's all about that redraft grind, setting the lineups, doing the waivers, doing the whole thing, putting that puzzle together faster than other people. That's more of the name of the game. It's fun, and you got to be prepared for it. So we will start with one such player that I am particularly enthusiastic about for the 2025 fantasy football season, and that is Baltimore Ravens tight end Mark Andrews. Now, I can hear people already just being like, no, he sucked last year, man. What do you, blah, blah, blah. Like, first of all, no, he didn't. It took a while. I get it. Things were very frustrating with Mark Andrews last year, but I want to remind people he got into a pretty severe car wreck at the beginning of August last year. Before the season even started, the man physically harmed by being in an accident. It sucks.
And if you're talking about Herm, sorry to cut you off, but he was coming back from a pretty major injury too, right?
Yeah, no, he had fractured his, I think it was his fibula, the very big bone.
Yeah, it was like the drop tackle. Someone did that like nasty drop tackle on him, and apparently that takes a little while to come back too. So while you're talking about the car accident, I think it's important to point out it was compounded by the fact that he had an actual like serious injury he was trying to get back on the field to in addition to the car accident. Just want to make sure that that point was hammered home here, Herms. I'll let you keep cooking.
Oh, no, 100%. And hey, you know, also, I think a lot of people forget, in addition to that, you know, sort of leg fracture, there was also a little bit of ankle ligament damage that went with it. So it was like a whole thing. There was a lot of just unfortunate stuff that happened to him in a kind of short period of time. But folks, he's been healthy otherwise. For the most part, this guy is out there on the field in lineups. So if you look back at the rest of his career, he's pretty much held up for the most part. And if we just want to focus on last year and have people be upset about like whatever, blah, blah, slow starter, he's the reason I lost my league. Well, if you stuck with him from week six through the end of the season, he was the tight end 7 in PPR points per game. 13.9. That's not bad. That's not bad, folks. And if we extrapolate that and just do that over the course of the full year, because that's a fun little thing we like to do, Mark Andrews would have finished as the tight end 4 in PPR points per game if he did that prorated over a full season. So you look at his ADP right now, he's going basically, where is he at? The 7-10 as the tight end 7. Like, he's being priced as if what's happened to him last year is just the new norm. And I'm here to tell you, and so is Tyler, we're both here to tell you all those reasons. Why are we just expecting him being prone to unfortunate things happening? Like, why is that the new Mark Andrews? Why are we valuing him this far low when he has the track record? He's done it year in and year out prior. And like I said, prorated over the whole season, he would have been the tight end 4. So Baltimore Ravens tight end Mark Andrews, I'm super stoked. Do you have any additional thoughts? Are you with me on this one?
Yeah, I'm with you 100%, Herms. In the effort here to save a little bit more time, man, I don't think there's anything I would say that you haven't said. I have on multiple occasions so far talked about him being my favorite kind of later round tight end option. I know tight end 7 or tight end 8 is ADP. It doesn't sound late, but like, in reality, like, he's going. I've seen him go in some mocks and some drafts around 7, 8, 9, which is pretty late for what I would consider a borderline elite tight end. So, man, you nailed it.
Glad to hear. Always glad to get some validation from last year's number one ranker in the biz. Pew, pew, pew. So, keeping with the positive theme, there are a couple running backs. It's a little two for one because, you know, but very similar situations. A couple guys, veteran running backs, who are on teams that we expected to maybe draft somebody, bring in some competition, and they survived. But their ADPs are still super low. That is DeAndre Swift with the Chicago Bears, and that is also Isaiah Pacheco of the Kansas City Chiefs. Swift, I'm not as excited on compared to Pacheco, so I'm just going to immediately pivot to talking about Pacheco. I get that it stunk that he got hurt and he had his own broken leg issue, but we have to call back to the Isaiah Pacheco that we were all excited about as a breakout from 2023. Now, he was the RB11 in PPR points per game, 15.9 average, super cool. And he saw a jump in targets, his usage in the pass game, 19 targets as a rookie, all the way up to 49 the following season. So, like, he developed a more well-rounded skill set. He became more involved in the Chiefs offense. Then he goes out and gets hurt. That sucks. We forget about him. We think, oh, well, he's a seventh round, you know, rookie draft pick. Oh, they're probably going to replace him. Blah, blah, blah. They didn't. They really didn't. I kind of like rookie Breshard Smith out of SMU, another late round draft pick. He's got his own fun skill set, but we're not here to talk about him because I don't think he's really that big of a threat. And Elijah Mitchell, bringing him in from the 49ers as part of this backfield as well. Well, he's already banged up, but what else is new with Elijah Mitchell? All respect in the world, but we know his health profile is not super great himself. So why don't we like Isaiah Pacheco more? I really don't understand this one. Am I nuts? Are you with me on this? Are people just sleeping too much on Pacheco?
I'm pretty neutral on Pacheco, let's say. So it's really tough for me to have a strong opinion, let's say. He goes right where I think he should. I'm ranked around RB26, I believe is RB24 is his ADP. So like he's kind of in this range where there's RBs I'm comfortable with there. Like Trayvon Henderson range, you know, Aaron Jones to an extent, DeAndre Swift, Pollard, even Brian Robinson. I have some concerns, obviously, as, you know, he's never been featured in the pass game. I don't know if you caught the sermons, but was it their camp report saying that he's running like more routes or?
Yeah, it's his route tree is allegedly gotten much larger.
So that's good. Like, again, I always take everything I hear with a grain of salt, but like just kind of tucking that one away. Like, okay, that's something that's like a direct area in which I needed to see something happen with Pacheco. I will say I've always been probably a bigger fan of Elijah Mitchell than I should be. But at the same time, can't ignore the fact that he can't stay on the field. I struggle with this one because I'm also projecting the Chiefs to pass more, to get back to their old ways. That's what I think the Chiefs are going to be doing this year. And we're going to see a Mahomes that we've been seeing for years. And last year was more so the exception. But even with that said, I'm pretty comfortable with where Pacheco goes. I think he's one of those guys in this range that I kind of just talked about that if things fall the right way, he clearly has top 12 upside. So that's kind of me laying out the case of what I think, Herms. I've probably be like at market with him. I'll grab him when he's there if I need him. Not going to reach for him. I'll grab him if he slides. Tough for me to like bake up something or strong that I don't feel too strongly about, but that's me laying it out for Pacheco.
Nah, fair enough. And, you know, before we transition into our first commercial break, I do just want to remind people, we talk about this range of the draft for running backs a lot just between the two of us. I think we're both kind of stumbling onto something here. This portion, according to our ADP, which you can find on ftnfantasy.com, we're talking about round 6 into round 7 a little bit with some of these guys. We're talking Trayvon Henderson. We talked about him on the show a lot. Love him. Isaiah Pacheco, I just talked about what's going on with him. Aaron Jones comes up. Tony Pollard, another name of a player that kind of gets a little bit underappreciated. I think, hey, you know, drafters out there.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. If you want to wait a little bit on the running backs, maybe we found ourselves a nice little zone that people can target.
Dude, man, I mean, we're going off the rails here, but I'm perfectly okay with it because I feel strongly about this as well. It is such a nice range. I think it starts with Trayvon Henderson. We got Isaiah Pacheco in there, Aaron Jones in there, Swift, Pollard, Brian Robinson. I would almost guarantee one of those guys is going to be an RB12 at the end of the season. I'd bet two, maybe even three of them are going to be in the top 24. If all these guys stay healthy, I think the upside is good with all of them. I can make you an upside case for all those names I just named that's pretty strong in some ways. I mean, there's a reason, like there's warts on the situation, right? There's problems with the situation. But that's why they go there. These are just teams where I'm like, these are guys I'm okay taking. What does that mean? Frees you up to take maybe an elite tight end like Bowers or McBride. Frees you up to take an elite quarterback if one falls in like the late third, fourth round. Maybe you want to hammer wide receivers early. I love this group of running backs that we're able to get, you know, starting around like six and able to smash through six, seven, eight. Like, say I didn't grab a running back till round, let's say first five rounds, didn't touch a running back. And then I go Travion Henderson, Isaiah Pacheco, Tony Pollard. Or I go Travion Henderson, which I'll always take because I love the guy, DeAndre Swift, Brian Robinson. I'm comfortable with those three heading into the season as being able to fill two of those slots.
Don't hear what we're not saying. The RB dead zone, quote unquote, is still something you have to be wary of, but it seems sort of the back end of it might not be as scary. Now, commercial break, don't go anywhere. Welcome back, everybody, to the Crossing Routes podcast. It is still Herms, it is still Tyler O, and we are still talking about some of my faves and fades for the 2025 season. We started out with more of the positives on the other side, but now getting into the second half of the episode, we're going to go negative. I hate going negative. I try to be a very, you know, rosy kind of uplifting guy, but there are a few names of players I'm just not sold on. Guys that are being drafted a little bit too high, way higher than I'm comfortable with. And probably the guy who's emblematic of this the most, going on average at the 112 as the wide receiver 7, according to our ADP, is Houston Texans wide receiver Nico Collins. Now, if you've been listening to the podcast since we started, you've definitely heard this before, but hey, I checked. Last time I brought this up was the beginning of June, and it is now August. So, hey, enough time has passed. I'm going to bring it up to people again. I understand why people are excited about Nico Collins. He broke out last year, was very, very good, or probably the year before, but like really solidified his status this past year. And he was super awesome. He finished as the wide receiver 10 in PPR points per game. Yeah, he had that hamstring injury that knocked him out for a little while, but like, hey, dude, prior to getting hurt, he was the wide receiver 4, averaging 21.3 PPR points per game. Herms, why are you fading this guy? The Texans, their offensive line, they completely overhauled it. I'm excited to see how they look in some of this preseason action, because when you get rid of your left tackle in Laremy Tunsil, when you bring in new starters on your offensive line, that's a lot of cohesion that has to be built. I'm nervous about their ability to keep C.J. Stroud upright because they allowed a pretty high sack rate. This is one of the reasons why the Texans offense did struggle a lot last year, is because C.J. Stroud couldn't really get the ball out doing things that often. So I'm a little bit worried about that. And also, like I just said, Nico Collins finished as the wide receiver 10 last year. And that was a pretty, you know, I'm not sure how much better it's going to get. So why would we draft him as the wide receiver 7 above the ceiling that he hit last year if the team situation is a little bit weirder and they add these day two rookies? We got Jalen Noel, we got Jaden Higgins. They're bringing in other guys. It's just, it's a madhouse. I'm not sure how the blocking is going to go. Just, I don't, why are we drafting Nico Collins in the first? That's all I want to know.
Herms, you're just spitting facts here, because I totally agree with you. I really want to hammer home the added competition piece of this, because I do think that Christian Kirk and either one of the two Iowa State rookies, which is funny when you think about it, are going to be a factor, and they're going to take things away here. Do I think Nico Collins is going to get his? Absolutely. Do I have concerns all over the offensive line? Probably less than most, but yeah, it's something we need to bring up. But Nico Collins is a guy that I will admit is in that kind of, you know, so just to go over my tiers, like I got Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and I actually slid in CeeDee Lamb and Neighbors in that same tier. That's the order, though. Like, I'm certainly taking Chase and Jefferson over them, but I've slided Lamb at 3 and then Neighbors at 4. And then you get this next second tier, which is elite as hell, led by Puka Nacua, Brian Thomas Jr., Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then at the end of that is Nico Collins. He's my RB8. I actually just moved him above A.J. Brown because of the hamstring injury I believe he just suffered. It was enough for me to just give him the ticket. But we're talking about one, maybe two slots, which is a lot when you're talking about a top 10 rank. So it means a lot more here. So I'm generally with you. I will admit that he is, you know, deserves to be in the top 10, ranked in the top 10. I think he could easily finish there. But I would probably bet him finishing more likely in the wide receiver. Like, my projections had him around like wide receiver 12 or 13, like fringy wide receiver one, Herms. Like, that's kind of what my numbers are suggesting we're getting out of Nico Collins. obviously not a bust if you pick him that high, but there's just better options. I think when it comes to me not drafting Nico Collins at ADP, it's not just about Nico Collins and all the great points you laid out. It's just I like the guys around him that go around him a lot more than him.
Looking at our ADP, pick 202, Brian Thomas, that's a name that, I can see the argument for that. Drake London is somebody that I wrote about as part of my Fantasy Faceoff series on the website. I love the case for that. Yeah, there's just a lot of dudes. And when you just look at a team that has that much competition around it and some other big question marks, it's kind of hard. But there you have it, folks. The end of our podcast episode. We will catch you all again next week. Something about fantasy football. I'm sure it's going to be a great time. I am Herms. He is Tyler O. And we are saying goodbye. Think about it before we go, just to say goodbye. And staying up and sleeping late.